that you can sort of pick up and stop and start reasonably easily, rather than looking at something like the Book of Revelation. And if you missed a week, well, you've missed the plot. Well, at least with the Book of Proverbs, we can sort of jump around a little bit, and if you've missed a week, then it's easier to catch up. We'll also be looking at the Book of Proverbs on a Wednesday night, so if you want a bit more, do come along on a Wednesday night, and we'll chat through a bit more on Wednesday night and look at it in a bit more greater depth. We can't exhaust the Book of Proverbs, first of all, because I'm certainly not wise enough to exhaust the Book of Proverbs, and secondly, it's the Word of God, so you can't exhaust the Word of God. But what I aim to do is just give you some tools in a toolbox, if you like, so you can start unlocking the Word of God for yourself. So if you have your Bibles with you, or it's probably going to come up on the screen in a moment, we're going to have a look at Proverbs chapter 1. And lo and behold, it arrived somewhere, and there we go. And I'm reading from the New American Standard. I tend to use that because it's a translation that's a little bit closer grammatically and translation-wise to the original Greek and Hebrew. The Book of Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding, to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the naive, to the youth knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase in learning. A man of understanding will inquire wise counsel. To understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Hear, my son, your father's instructions. Do not forsake your mother's teaching. Indeed, they are a graceful wreath to your head, an ornament around your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol, even whole as those who go down to the pit. We will find all kinds of precious wealth. We will fill our houses with spoil. Throw in your lot with us. We shall have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your feet to their path. Keep your feet from their path. For their feet run to evil, and they hasten to shed blood. Indeed, it is useless to spread the net in the eyes of any bird. But they lie in wait for their own blood. They ambush their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who gains by violence. It takes away the life of its possessors. Wisdom shouts in the street. She lifts her voice in the square. At the head of noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the gates in the city, she utters her sayings. How long, O naive ones, will you love simplicity? And scoffers delight themselves in scoffing, and fools hate knowledge. Turn to my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. Because I called and you refused, I stretched out my hand and no one paid attention. And you neglected my counsel. You did not want my reproof. I will even laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your dread comes. When your dread comes like a storm and your calamity comes on you like a whirlwind. When distress and anguish come upon you, they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they shall not find me, because they hated knowledge, and they did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would not accept my counsel. They spurned from my reproof. So they shall eat from the fruit of their own way and be satiated with their own devices. For the waywardness of the naive shall kill them, and the complacency of fools shall destroy them. But he who listens to me shall live securely and shall be at ease from the dread of evil. It's interesting, many, many years ago, about 300 BC, there was a philosopher called Zeno, and he gave this advice to his young philosopher students. He said, you've got two ears, one mouth, you need to listen more and talk less. We kind of think that's a bit of a wise modern saying, but even in a busy lifestyle, many hundreds or thousands of years ago, people were kind of crying out for trying to learn about life. So we're going to look about the Book of Proverbs. In the Book of Proverbs, you begin to see that it's not rocket science. It's ordinary common sense. It's what wisdom is and how to find it, how to choose the right path in life, what happens when you choose the wrong path, how to make the best use of money, how to make and keep the right kind of friends, How to Build a Happy Marriage and a Successful Home. How many books are there in the average bookshop and library that try and cover those things? It's quite a lot. They call them self-help books, don't they? But when you come to the book of Proverbs, you suddenly realize that you're kind of at your depth because you can't help yourself. You definitely need the wisdom of God. And as we look through the book of Proverbs together, I hope that by the time September comes, you'll begin to love the book of Proverbs and you'll begin to sort of not just accumulate it in your head as like little wise, witty sayings, but something of it will permeate your heart, and together we'll be able to learn to live these things without even thinking about it. I had a wise saying from my mum once, so don't quote me on this because some of you know her better than I do, and she used to say to me, always make sure that you've got clean underwear on every day in case you have a road accident. Some of you, I think, can identify with that. Perhaps your mums and dads have said that to you. And I did that, my very best, when I left home. And one day I got run over by a car. It wasn't a bus, by a car. I had a nice new Peugeot touring bike, which all got mangled. And they carted me off to the hospital. And when I came round, because I was a bit out of it, the first thing I said to the consultant was, it's all right, I've got clean underwear on. And he kind of looked at me as if to say, oh dear, you've really banged your head, haven't you? But it was this kind of saying that my mum had put into my head of, you know, always make sure you've got clean underwear on just in case you have a road accident. And I thought to myself, I had clean underwear on and it didn't protect me, did it? Not very much. And sometimes we look at the Word of God in the same kind of way. We come to the Word of God and say, God, I've got all these problems and issues in my life. I've done everything I should, but still life goes wrong. Perhaps I'm the only one who experiences that. No? Perhaps some of you can identify. You see, the book of Proverbs aren't necessarily sort of guarantees, but they're wise principles that if you live by these, you're going to be a lot safer than walking across the road and not looking. Does that make sense? And we need to live our lives by the Word of God. I was a year older this week. It doesn't look like it, does it? I look really young, don't I? But I was given this present, and it's a nice little wooden box. And on there it says this. It says, I was blind, but now I see. And I thought, it's my dad, as he gave me this. I said, what's this all about? I was blind, but now I see. It's a nice little wooden box, and there's something nice inside. So I opened it, and I thought to myself, what on earth is my dad trying to say to me? You know, I might be going a bit deaf, but, you know, I can still see all right. I was blind, but now I see. And when you put this on things, it's really good. It's quite scary. Put it on your eye. Kids run away a mile. But it got me thinking about the Word of God and the book of Proverbs. I was blind, but now I see. You see, we can read the book of Proverbs just as an academic exercise and try and get information from it. But until it's illuminated and magnified through the Holy Spirit, you're going to be blind and not see. And something that I want you to remember over the next few weeks and months as we come into September is you need the Holy Spirit as you read the Word of God. Because it's the Word of God who magnifies things. And so I thought to myself, yes, I had a Bible years ago before I was a Christian, but I was still blind. I just read it like a story. It was only when I became a Christian, I was filled with the Holy Spirit, things got magnified and I could see. And so I don't know where you stand or sit with the Lord this morning, because if I said, I don't know where you stand, you'd probably say, I'm sitting. Well, I don't know where you're at with the Lord this morning. But ask him to touch you afresh with his Holy Spirit, that as you look upon the Word of God, things switch on like a massive light bulb, and that something just touches your heart and not just your head. So as far as the book of Proverbs is concerned, it's about successful living, and successful living is a skill. I don't know about you, but when I first got on a bicycle, it didn't just happen. Took time and effort, and life is a set of skills, and sometimes we think we've made ourselves and we're complete, but really, if we're all honest, we've all got our L plates on, haven't we? The only time we take our L plates off is probably when we get to heaven. We've probably got one of these little green peas on the back for provisional, because we're still learning. And the book of Proverbs encourages us to keep learning. There's no quick, rich schemes. It's how to make a skillful life. How to acquire wisdom and how to apply it. And when we look through the Bible, we could have a look at Joseph and the wisdom that God gave him. We could look at the book of Daniel and how God gave him wisdom. We could look at David and how sometimes he practiced godly wisdom and other times he didn't. And it's interesting to think as we look at Proverbs and how most of them there are written by Solomon, some of them are a few other authors, you have to scratch your head sometimes because here's somebody who had hundreds of wives. Hundreds of wives. How many mother-in-laws is that? It's not very wise, really, is it? So he kind of dips in and out of his wisdom. But 2 Timothy 3:16 says this: all scripture is inspired by God, profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be adequately equipped for every good work. So even if we find some stuff a bit obscure and peculiar in the book of Proverbs, it is all there because God wants us to read it and to acquire it and get into our hearts. Just a little few thoughts on wisdom, because wisdom is a God-given skill. Book of Exodus, it says this, Exodus 31:3, and I can give you these scriptures if you want them later. As they're creating the Ark of the Covenant and the tabernacle, God says this: I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding. Exodus 36 says this: the Lord has put skill and understanding into these people to make the tabernacle. Deuteronomy 4:6 says this: keep my laws and statutes, for they are your wisdom and understanding. It's interesting, isn't it? The law is God's gift to us as wisdom and understanding. Thou shalt not do this and shalt not do that. Sounds a bit heavy going. But as far as the Bible's concerned, it is God's wisdom to us. And when you read the bit after that passage, it says this: so others will look on you and know that you are a wise people. Well, that can't be for today, though, because that's thousands of years ago in the dusty desert past with Moses and the tabernacle and the people of Israel. I don't think so. If we really get a hold of the word of God and allow that wisdom to permeate on our lives, don't you think the people around us will be drawn into that and say, how on earth, Tim, can you live your life in such a wonderful way in this world of temptation and destruction? Just using it as an illustration there, because you're sat there looking as if you're listening to me, which is really exciting. It's interesting, isn't it? What we fill our minds with actually changes the way we think and the way we behave. And the more we fill it with the word of God, especially the book of Proverbs over the next few months. And I would really encourage you to get a hold of the book of Proverbs, to read it, to meditate on it and chew it. You got to chew it. It's like a toffee. You got to chew it and chew it and chew it. And you can't just read it and say, right, next bit. Allow God's Holy Spirit, as this little book says, I was blind, but now I see, to magnify different parts of the words of God, because it's God's gift of wisdom to each one of us. Proverbs 9 verse 10 says this: the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Proverbs 10 verse 31 says this: the mouth of the righteous flows with wisdom. It's interesting, isn't it? That everything that we need to survive in this perverse and crooked and corrupt generation is all in here. It's interesting, I've got a little Peugeot scooter. I don't ride it much these days since I came off and cracked me bum, almost. Pelvis, should I say. And I rode it in those days. But I remember doing a repair job once and having all the bits all over the driveway and putting it all back together again and thinking, I can't fix this, I better call the AA out. So the AA man came out and said, haven't you got a manual for this? I said, well, yes, I have actually. Because it looks like you've taken this apart and put it back together again without reading the manual. I thought, how's he found that out? There's a sense how sometimes with life's problems and situations, we try and work it all out. It's all across the floor in little bits. And we think, what am I going to do now? And God's saying, just read the manual. Just read the manual. It's just ordinary, common sense stuff. Now, I know I'm preaching to the converted, and I know you know all of this. And I'm aiming to get a little mirror stuck on the wall. So when I'm up here speaking, I'm just looking at myself and saying, wait, read the manual. Because these people don't need to read the manual, do you? Actually, we all need to read the manual. We're all kind of on level ground here. We need God's wisdom every day. What do they say about Jesus in the Bible? Because as we look through the book of Proverbs, if we look through it the eyes of the New Testament, we begin to realize actually the book of Proverbs is all about Jesus. And I'll show you where we're going to go with that. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 24, it says this: to those who are called by God, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. You see, very often when we look at the life of Christ, we look at his death and resurrection, which is really important. We look at the miracles, and we look at all sorts of things like that. But there is so much in the New Testament material that talks about being Christ, the wisdom of God. Luke 2:52, and it says, Jesus kept on increasing, this is when he was a little boy, Jesus kept on increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Very often we skip over the bit wisdom. We don't think about it. But Jesus, as a little boy, Even the gospel writers are saying that Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature. Matthew 13, it says, they were astonished in his hometown and said, where did he get his wisdom and these miraculous powers? Very often we just focus on the miraculous powers, but it says, where did he get this wisdom from? Can you imagine some difficult situation this week and somebody comes to you and says, how did you work that out? Hello? That would be pretty cool, wouldn't it? Can you imagine the kind of witness that would speak mission-wise, that people look on your life and they say, well, we knew you can't work that out. That's what people say to me. They say, we know you're not capable of working that out, but who told you how to do that? Well, I've got a God in heaven who knows all wisdom. First Corinthians 1:30 says this, by his doing you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and redemption. You see, we don't have to go too far to find wisdom. And if Jesus sent his Holy Spirit to live within each one of us, then the potential for solving and living and being everything we need to be in this really weird, wacky world, because it is a really weird, wacky world, isn't it? We can actually walk through and say, it's going to be difficult, but I know how I'm going to live and work and be. How did Jesus express his wisdom and his knowledge? Where was he found? He was often said, I'm just to be found doing the will of the Father. Are you doing what God wants you to do? Who he was found with? Those needing God's love and Jesus kept in good company. He was found. What was he found saying? Did Jesus ever gossip or criticize? He was always about the Father's business and he never moaned about the church. It's interesting, isn't it? What was he found doing? Doing whatever the Father does. What about you and I? How do we express wisdom and knowledge? How do we acquire this skillful life? And so this morning I want us just to look at the first few verses of the book of Proverbs, just to begin to unpack a little bit of a flavor of what's ahead of the next few weeks. There are only three certainties in this life. That's quite a philosophical statement, isn't it? There are only three certainties in life, and gravity isn't one of them. Because I'm a bit of a space cadet, and I tend to drift a little bit. But one of the certainties in life is this, that your sins are forgiven. I think you must have fallen asleep by this time. Your sins are forgiven. That is a certainty. Did somebody say amen? Good gracious, hooray, yes, definitely hooray. That's one certainty. The next certainty is that you are saved from hell. I was kind of hoping for a better response than that, because yes, I'll tell you what, you really don't want to go downstairs. It is not a nice place. And I'm not meaning to be flippant with that. The third certainty is this, that Jesus said, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Amen. How about hallelujah for that one? Jesus didn't say everything's going to be a piece of cake. Because if it was, I would have eaten it all and you would have suffered by now, because I love cake. He said, I am with you even to the end of the age. Whatever you go through in life, we have to keep those things in perspective. And as we look at through the book of Proverbs, we begin to see that actually it's a mirror image of Jesus. Wisdom will be with us as we walk together. Let's just have a quick recap on that as we look through the book of Proverbs and the first few verses there. Do I need that page? No, I've done that page. There we go. Intelligence has nothing to do with IQ. You ever thought about that? Because people who pass the Mensa test still do wrong things. Intelligence has to do with knowing right from wrong. Isn't that easy? Right, we can sing the last song, we can all go home now, because the book of Proverbs is about learning from right from wrong. It's a little bit more complicated than that really, isn't it? But it's not rocket science. And so I want us to think very, very briefly about 10 quick things this morning. The first thing that the book of Proverbs is, in verse 2 there, it says this, to know wisdom. That kind of sounds pretty obvious, isn't it? To know wisdom. But if Jesus is the wisdom of God, then we're to know Jesus. And this word in the Hebrew, to know, is an intimate word. It's yada. And right in the Garden of Eden, it says that Adam knew Eve. They couldn't get any closer. They were intimately acquainted. And the writer of the book of Proverbs says this, to know wisdom. And I want to ask you this morning, are you intimately acquainted with wisdom? Are you intimately acquainted with God's wisdom? We've already covered a tiny, tiny little bit about the wisdom of God being manifested in Jesus. How much intimately do you know Jesus? Because the more we know Jesus, the more we can get a better perspective on life and make wise choices in this difficult world. He continues in verse 2 and he says this, to know instruction. I'm going to have a word with those NIV people because that's not quite on the ball there. Verse 2 there says this, to know wisdom and to know instruction. And instruction comes from knowing the law, which sounds a bit heavy. But the Psalms, David often says, how I love your law. I meditate on it day and night. You see, the law protects us from doing wrong things. And Deuteronomy 4 verse 6 talks about knowing God's wisdom, but goes on, as we've already looked at, others will know that you are a wise people. Verse 2, King Solomon continues and he says this, to discern all the things that have been said. Let's just look at that for a moment, verse 2 there. To discern the sayings of understanding. What does the NIV say? Well, for understanding of words and insight. It's this whole kind of sense of perceiving, to know, to discern. See, sometimes people have this sort of innate knowledge to know things before they happen, don't they? I'm not talking about weirdy hocus-pocus kind of stuff, but there's the gift of discernment that God can give you. So you know in advance, well, I know that person or that situation isn't going to be right in God's eyes. And we kind of need that kind of wise discernment. Verse 3 goes on, he says, to receive instruction in wise behavior. Continues in verse 4 and he says, prudence to the naive. I don't know what the NIV says there. Well, prudence to the simple. Prudence is this sense of being cunning and sharp. You know, I'm really slow with things. I don't know about you, but often I see them about 10 miles once I've gone past them, like an exit on a motorway. And think, oh, I should have come off on that one. Perhaps that's just me. No. But you see, the book of Proverbs teaches us how to be sharp so we know when to come off. That we don't go wandering and meandering on the wrong road, but we know which direction to take, to be prudent and cunning and sharp. Because I know when I get lost, I get het up and frustrated and scared. I'm thinking I'm lost. I don't know where I'm going now. I'm going to have to turn around and try and find my way because I don't have a sat-nav. I have something better than that. It's called a wife. She's a brilliant, brilliant navigator, actually, but I don't loan her out. But coming back to the point of this whole sense of Jesus wants you to know which direction to take in your life before you've taken the wrong direction. And the book of Proverbs instructs us in those kinds of things. Verse 4 says, to the youth, knowledge. And the word in the Hebrew for knowledge is talking about the five perception senses of touch, hear, taste, see, and smell, and that kind of thing. Verse 4, and he said, talks about knowledge and discretion. What does the NIV for say that? Yes, giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. You see, if you think about it, none of us feel old in our minds very often, do we? I know we have slow moments sometimes, don't we, when it's difficult to recall information. I get that in the morning, and I wake up and I say, good morning, Gertie, I mean, Iris. No, I don't actually. But those moments where we're kind of slow. And there's this whole sense of we might know things, but how do we apply things? Sometimes we need to apply knowledge with discretion. So instead of going up to Tim and saying, I knew you were going to do that, you silly fool. We can say, hey, come on, look at this, Tim. This might have a look at doing it this way. Knowledge with discretion. So it's not just how we apply wisdom in here, but how we apply it to the community. Are we going to make it attractive so they come with us and say, hey, that's pretty cool that you've come off in your life at the right direction and you've not taken a wrong turning. Because one of the biggest problems in the world today is actually regret, which is why people try and cover up regret with building their homes with lovely objects and things and the latest gizmos and stuff to try and sort of hide away from their own insecurities and things. Knowledge and discretion. It talks about Jesus, that he grew in wisdom and in stature. It's funny how, well, it's not funny really if you think about it, but if Jesus grew in wisdom and stature, it obviously meant he always had the right thing to say at the right time. He knew how to behave in the right way, in the right situation, in the right time. He knew when to be in the right place at the right time. He knew when not to be in the right place at the wrong time, being the right time. We're getting a bit difficult now, aren't we? Do you see what I'm trying to say here? It's not just about the way you think or the way you behave. It's about everything in your life being encompassed in the wisdom of God. Verse 5 there, it says, a wise man will hear an increase in learning. In other words, a wise man says, I don't know it all. There's so much more yet to learn. Verse 5, it continues and says, a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. It's talking about wise people getting more wisdom. It's not talking now about stupid people needing wisdom. It's this whole sense of, if you think you're really wise, you're going to get advice. That's an interesting one, isn't it? How wise are you? Do we keep going back to the word of God to get advice? It's interesting, the Hebrew word for wise counsel, where are we on? We're on verse 5 there. Get guidance. Okay, this is supposed to be wise counsel. And the Hebrew word there is steerage ropes. Wise counsel and steerage ropes. And you sort of think, Wayne, you've really lost the plot this time. A few of you have sort of woken up now. Steerage ropes. Where's he get that from in this? Steerage ropes are what guides the boat. And the rudder is just such a small thing. And it talks about being wise counsel like a steerage rope. It's about direction again. And every part of your life is just so important to God, which direction you take from the moment you step outside to get in your car, whether you walk home, to everything that you do is just so important to God. But the book of Proverbs encourages us to keep learning and to seek more and more wisdom. A man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. Verse 7 is the most important part of the book of Proverbs, really. Says this, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord. And this isn't sort of, oh, I'm scared of the Lord. It's this kind of respect for the Lord. Like I have a healthy respect for the sea. I enjoy paddling in it, enjoy swimming in it, and in occasions past I've enjoyed sailing in it, but I know the power of the sea. There's also a sense with the presence of God, we can just enjoy the presence of God, but we must always remember the power of who God really is. You know, I get a little bit wound up when people say about God and they talk about him as my mate upstairs. That doesn't really display wise words of the fear of the Lord, does it? This kind of healthy respect of we know who God really is. Can you hear Jesus calling you from the book of Proverbs? This whole sense of if Jesus is the wisdom of God made manifest, then we need to look no further than to go to him. So we've just touched very, very briefly on the book of Proverbs this morning, and I want us to sort of think, where do we need to go with that over the next few weeks? How are we going to sharpen our skills in wise living, wise talk, wise thinking, wise behavior? Because none of us have got it all together, have we? Hello? No, we haven't, have we? But we've got a unique opportunity to really meditate on God's word over the summer, whether you're on holiday or whether you're here, whether you're in the Bible study, and just say, Lord, how can you change me through the power of Jesus? Because this ultimately is history, his story. Let's just bow our heads for a moment. Dear Father, we just thank you for your word. So much to see, so much to do, so much to read, so much to acquire. Help us to take it step by step. Help us to see that as we look at things over the next few weeks, that maybe, just maybe, the way we are will change and become more like Jesus. What a wonderful thought that would be. Lord, that we would be hid and the communities and the workplaces and our families would see something different beginning to happen in our lives. I thank you for each person here today, Lord, and I pray that you bless them and encourage them. That where they may have struggles with faith or life or situations in life, Lord, that they will begin to see that some things can begin to be thought through and worked through. Where we have behavior difficulties, Lord, perhaps we don't respond to people and situations in the way we should. Help the book of Proverbs to teach us wise behavior. Perhaps it's the way we think about ourselves, Lord. And I pray that the book of Proverbs will call us into seeing ourselves as you see us. But ultimately, we want just to become more like Jesus day by day. To say the right things, to do the right things, to be in the right place at the right time. To make wise choices, to not get lost in life. And we would also ask that your Holy Spirit would help us to see, because we're blind spiritually without you or your Holy Spirit. So touch us afresh with your Holy Spirit, I pray, Lord. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen. We're going to sing a song in closing.